This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. The nuclear deal deadline looms. Will Pastor Saeed and the other Americans be freed?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
My foreign minister colleagues are returning here to Vienna, and it's now time to see whether or not we are able to close an agreement. In many ways, this negotiation has been going on for literally a number of years, and over the past few days, we have, in fact, made genuine progress. But I want to be absolutely clear with everybody. We are not yet where we need to be on several of the most difficult issues.
At this 11th hour, despite some differences that remain, we have never been closer to a lasting outcome. But there is no guarantee. Getting to yes requires the courage to compromise, the self-confidence to be flexible, the maturity to be reasonable, the wisdom to set aside illusions, and the audacity to break old habits.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president would certainly veto any amendment or any bill with an amendment that undermined the unanimous compromise that was reached in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee or that interfered with the ongoing negotiations. And certainly a provision, an amendment, that made this nuclear deal contingent on Iran's release of those three American citizens would fall, I think, frankly, into both categories.
If you were on the sidelines, if you were sitting with the Iranian foreign minister, what would you say? What would you tell them? Please, Ms. Ebadin.
I would say no more discussions until first you release the Americans, then we'll talk further.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're 24 hours away from the newest deadline for a final deal between the United States, some other world superpowers, and Iran on their nuclear program. Now, there's already talks about extending this another couple of days, now just a couple days later this week. And the urgency is because of legislation passed by Congress that allows some oversight by the House and Senate depending on when this deal is submitted. And they're much greater oversight if they miss the initial deadline, which is ultimately a deal that has to be submitted to Congress by July 9th. So though that idea of a deadline looms for tomorrow, this could certainly carry on another couple of days, and based on how this has gone in the past, could continue longer than that. What we're concerned about so much is, one, the deal itself, which, again, nothing seems like it's going to be very good for the United States, but also the Americans held hostage by Iran. As we represent Pastor Saeed Abedini and his family and the other Americans who are held hostage by Iran as part of this these discussions that are ongoing. What if the deal were to fall apart? What if the discussions fell apart today? And what happens to that diplomatic dialogue that doesn't even exist? You know, on paper, we have no diplomatic relationship with Iran. Pastor Saeed has been in prison over 1,000 days, over 1,000 days because of his Christian faith, 1,013 days. We're going to need to take action now. Over a million people have signed the petition for his release. I need more of you to do so. Call now. If you haven't gotten involved, we need you to get involved. We need you to be in prayer for Pastor Saeed and his family. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. I encourage you folks, we're going to get into the discussion about the nuclear deal as well. If you've got a comment or a question about this potential deal with Iran, do you support it? I suspect most of you do not. Give us a call. We want to take your phone calls live on the air today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To talk to us on air. We'll talk Saeed Abedini. We'll talk Iran nuclear deal. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, will be joining us to talk about the congressional role here. Call now, folks. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air and to get involved. Pray for Pastor Saeed and his family as these critical deadlines approach. And call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The
the clock is ticking. A deadline to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear capabilities is now just hours away. Secretary of State says, quote, hard choices still need to be made. And the negotiations, he says, can go either way. As representatives from the United States and Iran sit face to face at the bargaining table, it's critical that American pastor Saeed Abedini and three other Americans imprisoned in Iran are released. There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And this nuclear deadline, the discussions are going down to really the final hours. The deal is the extension was till tomorrow, July 7th. There's already talk about an extension to July 9th. No surprise there. We're concerned, one, of course, about Saeed Abedini, an American Christian pastor imprisoned in Iran now 1,013 days because of his Christian faith. There are other Americans as well, Amir Hekmati, a former U.S. Marine imprisoned in Iran, Jason Razian, a Washington Post reporter imprisoned in Iran, and a missing American, Robert Levinson, who we believe the United States government believes Iran, the Iranian government knows something about his whereabouts that they're not sharing. And all of this, of course, under the auspices of this nuclear talks, very unprecedented talks that are occurring between the United States and really it's the P5 plus one, but the U.S. taking the lead. And so it will ultimately be up to the United States if some deal is agreed upon. This would be a final deal that needs to be submitted. Now, there are key things we're talking about, key moments in this because of the legislation passed by Congress to have some oversight role when it comes to this nuclear deal. And Than, as we were going through and preparing for today, one of those key dates is not the 7th, but as actually this new date they're talking about, July 9th, that if the deal is not submitted by July 9th to Congress, they would have 60 days to review it rather than 30. So a much longer period of time to go through each piece.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. July 9th is really the deadline that folks on Capitol Hill and both the House and the Senate view as the deadline for this. You know, the media is reporting tomorrow's deadline of July 7th, but the Iranian Review Act, which passed Congress and gave Congress a role in reviewing any potential deal, said that that deal has to be transmitted to Congress by July 9th in order to trigger the following series of requirements. It would give Congress 30 days to pass a resolution of disapproval. If a resolution of disapproval passed, the President would then have 12 days to veto that resolution, and Congress would have 10 days after that to override that veto. Now, Jordan, if they miss that July 9th deadline, they then have 60 days to review it. So it was sort of Congress's way of saying, listen, you can't just keep pushing back these deadlines time after time again. Now, how long would it take for a deal to be actually transmitted to Congress? That is a bit unclear. But that deal, any potential deal, actually has to be in the hands of Congress by July 9th. Otherwise, that 30-day window for them to review it extends out to 60 days.
All right, folks. So that's, again, there's key moments about this. So we could talk about the nuclear deal, the national security threat, the threat to our allies in the region, including Israel, but other countries as well, and some of the Sunni majority countries that are certainly opposed to this idea of a nuclear deal and letting Iran operate thousands of centrifuges. We don't have a final deal yet, but we know that most people, you know, didn't really like the draft of the initial deal that came out a few months ago. The question is now, does this talks, do they get extended again? What happens to the Americans imprisoned in Iran? We're going to take your phone calls on it, but we want you to join our petition to free Pastor Saeed Abedini. Let's not forget those Americans as we talk about these very important deadlines that remain imprisoned in Iran, in Saeed's case because of his Christian faith, and all because, really, you know, it all their American citizenship comes into significant play here. It certainly is a part of this. So, folks, we want you to join with us. Call now. Add your name to the petition. Over 1 million people have done so. But we always need more folks. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org to sign this petition online. Dan, let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to be a part of the broadcast. Let's go to Robert calling from Maryland on line 4. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and hi, Dan. I just wanted to make the comment, I'm absolutely against the United States striking this nuclear deal with Iran. Because if you think about it, the United States government, in their wildest dreams, never was attempting to strike a nuclear deal with the Nazis under Adolf Hitler, nor were they trying to strike a nuclear deal with the former Soviet Union, although they did end up eventually getting the bomb through material gained from a spy that was in our government. I wanted to know also what more we could do to free Pastor Saeed and the other American citizens in, under Iranian on detainment and imprisonment.
Well, I think we have to be more definitive, Robin. Thank you for your phone call. And we have to be more definitive in our requirements for a deal. And now, some of this could come into play, Than, if this doesn't get before Congress and it's not this short 30-day window, which makes it pretty tough for Congress to really fully review. But if they get the 60 days, which appears somewhat likely now, I mean, I it's hard to imagine. Though I don't ever, nothing is out of the realm of reality with this administration, that they would have some comprehensive deal ready to go in the next 24 to 48 hours. But and if they don't, Congress is going to have more time to review this and also to put more pressure on the White House to get some things done before they let this go.
Well, that's right, Jordan. I mean, and to Robert's first point, I mean, this goes all the way back to what the president said, that we can't expect Iran to fundamentally transform in order to sign a deal, when in reality, that is exactly what we should be expecting Iran to do. I mean, they should have to transform on their recognition of Israel. They should have to transform on their death to America view. Those are the fundamental changes that the United States should be expecting. But unfortunately, it seems to me like this administration, Jordan, wants any deal for a legacy sake. Now, I still think there will be some deal. I'm not sure whether or not it will meet that July 9th trigger in order to get that short 30-day review. But remember, if it extends past July 9th, it can still happen. It just gives Congress a bit more review time. And to Robert's question about Saeed, my big concern there is how viscerally the White House was opposed to the Risch Amendment when this Iranian Review Act was being discussed. Remember, the Risch Amendment simply said you have to have the Americans home before we will even consider any view. The White House was adamantly opposed to that, and the only reason they should be adamantly opposed to that, Jordan, is if they want to retain the ability to strike a deal even if they don't get the prisoners home.
I know we played that in the opening of the broadcast. That was Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, talking about this idea that if there was any kind of amendments made to this legislation, ultimately there wasn't, that would require the Americans to be home. Take a listen. They've been very strident in their view that they don't believe that they don't want any preconditions whatsoever by 26.
The president would certainly veto any amendment or any bill with an amendment that undermined the unanimous compromise that was reached in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee or that interfered with the ongoing negotiations. And certainly a provision, an amendment, that made this nuclear deal contingent on Iran's release of those three American citizens would fall, I think, frankly, into both categories. It would directly undermine the unanimous compromise that was reached in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and it certainly would interfere with the ongoing negotiations between the international community and Iran on their nuclear program.
And, you know, again, the White House, we don't want anything, and certainly, and this, again, it sent us the signal, as Dan said, that they're not ready to get these Americans home before a deal was submitted. Certainly, unfortunately, that looks like the case. I would like to be surprised and be wrong there. I would have hoped to be wrong many times throughout this process about the administration and happily surprised. That has not occurred yet. You know, Nagma Abedini has also testified to Congress a number of times. I've done it as well about this situation. She was asked about these talks by Congressman Deutsch as well, and you know, should they continue? What's her opinion? Take a listen as well. This is from the wife of Pastor Saeed Abedini testifying before Congress.
You were on the sidelines. If you were sitting with the Iranian foreign minister, what would you say? What would you tell them? Please, Ms. Abedini.
I would say no more discussions until first you release the Americans, then we'll talk further.
You know, again, it's very clear from Nagma. No, release the Americans, we'll talk further. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Than Bennett again. Than, how can Congress get involved? Again, you know, if they get some kind of deal submitted to them this week, and they've got either the 30 days or 60 days to review it, how could they utilize that time that they've carved out to try and put pressure to get these Americans home?
Well, this is what makes Nagma's response so good on this, because even before a deal is transmitted, members of Congress on both sides of this, either in favor of a deal or opposed to a deal, should be speaking clearly, and they should be saying, listen, we're not even going to look at a deal unless these four Americans are home. Now then, once a deal is received, Jordan, something that our listeners need to know, there will also be the sideline parameters, the things that were discussed on the sidelines, and any other tertiary issues related to it. Those will be available for Congress to review. Every single member of Congress should be reviewing those sideline details before they commit to supporting a deal. And Jordan, if they are not assured that these four Americans are home, they should be voting against the deal.
Folks, we need to stand with Pastor Saeed Abedini and the other Americans being held hostage by Iran since Saeed's case over 1,000 days. Again, folks, call now. Add your name to our petition to free Pastor Saeed. Call 877-989-2255. We're facing a critical deadline in these nuclear talks. Oh, really, over the next 24 hours, supposed to be one deadline. Even if that extended a couple, it significantly changes congressional oversight. So this is a critical time. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Stand with Pastor Saeed. Go to aclj.org and stay updated online. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The clock is ticking. A deadline to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear capabilities is now just hours away. Secretary of State says, quote, hard choices still need to be made, and the negotiations, he says, can go either way. As representatives from the United States and Iran sit face to face at the bargaining table, it's critical that American Pastor Saeed Abedini and three other Americans imprisoned in Iran are released. There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The deadline approaches tomorrow for a nuclear deal between Iran and the P5 plus one, the U.S. leading those efforts. It's the U.K., France, Russia, China, the United States, and the plus one, Germany, who are, you know, basically these world powers in these talks. But it ultimately will be up to the United States. And there's been talk of this deal being extended another 24, 48 hours before a final deal would be announced and then submitted to our Congress, which would trigger a different kind of review process. If it's after July 9th, Congress would have 60 days to review this. If it's at or before July 9th, so just the next few days, they would only have 30 days to review this. So you can see how the administration does have an extra pressure here and impetus to get this done. We're going to continue to take your phone calls about this, 1-800-684-3110. Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is joining us. Dan, let's go right to the calls.
Yeah, let's go first to Bill. He's calling on line 5 from Missouri. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, I agree with what the moderator said not too very long ago about sometimes a sitting president trying to negotiate a diplomatic deal with another nation for the sake of having a treaty, even though it's not a good treaty and it's just not a good idea.
Well, listen, I mean, I agree with you to an extent, Bill. I mean, the idea of trying to trust Iran with any kind of nuclear program whatsoever, I mean, the way this has changed, you know, it's gone from Iran not having a nuclear program to Iran having some kind of civilian nuclear but non-military program to Iran not having fully inspected all of their sites. And so, Dan, the goal has consistently changed from the Obama administration. They have, again, it hasn't been, I don't think, clear enough to the American people. And I think that some of that's on purpose, because the truth is, I'm not sure the administration itself, I think they do realize that this is a deal that is not going to be very popular and people are not going to have much faith in.
Well, you know, they entered negotiations, Jordan, without a good faith negotiating partner. I mean, that is why we told them at the very outset, listen, if you want a sign that this is a regime that you can negotiate with, demand that they return the wrongfully held prisoners first. Iran did not do that. The United States did not demand that. And so it was fairly predictable that we were going to end up where we are today. But you're right. Even the parameters of the nuclear discussion continue to shift, Jordan. And, you know, when we got the outline of a deal several weeks back, we took a look at it, and you basically are left asking the question, what does the United States get out of this? And even today, a day before the stated deadline, I think that's what members of Congress are asking the president as well. If you are going to sign a deal with Iran, you have to be able to tell us that we got something that benefits the United States. Forget if it benefits Iran or not. Does it benefit the United States? And for more and more members of Congress, they're coming back with the answer that no, it does not.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To stand with Pastor Saeed, call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Dan, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Yolanda calling on line 1 from Florida. She's been holding for a long time. Yolanda, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi there. How are you today?
We're good, Yolanda. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was saying before that, do we really believe as Americans that we can trust Iran? I don't believe that the president has shown his faithfulness to the Americans as it is, and how he has been able to release all these terrorists. But this deal with Iran, what makes us think that Iran is really going to make a deal and stand by it, when we know that they want to destroy us, that they call the big Satan, and Israel the little Satan?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I think that we are all very concerned about this idea that we would have a deal with Iran. They do consider us the great evil. They have said that the United States will still be an enemy of Iran, and they'll still view us as an enemy even with this deal. And so it's not like we're getting to even a detente situation or a situation like opening up relationship with communist China back in the 70s. And we're talking about here a situation with a country that will still shout death to America. They'll still have those chants. There's still going to be a lot of anger and aggressiveness coming out of that regime. And what the administration has tried to say is, oh, that's their domestic rhetoric. Well, it's a big country, you know, nearly 80 million people. And, you know, it's got resources. It's certainly been hampered because of the financial sanctions against Iran. And that's really what this is about. It's about some for the U.S., it's supposed to be about, you know, long-term security because Iran won't be able to develop a nuclear weapon. For Iran, it's about immediate economic relief. And so you do have those interesting interests around the world, as often you do in these situations where the business community, some of them are pushing to open up, you know, a new marketplace for them and not as concerned about the security risk. And, of course, you've got our allies who are saying, you know, what are you thinking putting forward a deal like this with Iran? They don't abide by their agreements. They haven't even abided by the basic agreements of this process. And they're again, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But we can take action for American pastor Saeed Abedini. And we can also take action once we, if there is some final deal here, going through that, educating ourselves about it, and you all getting up to speed on it as well to understand what it entails. I want you to call now and join with us, 877-989-2255. Dan, back to the phones we go.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Bob calling from California on line two. Bob, you're on the air.
Yeah, Obama, we haven't been able to trust Obama in any of his decisions because they always backfire and go the wrong way. What makes us think that we're going to be able to trust his decisions on this? Because it goes as far as back as if you like your doctor, you can keep him. I mean, that was just that was a simple thing. What's going to happen with this big thing?
Well, I think you know, listen, it's the same kind of situation where I would not take anything at face value. I think, Dan, that's the purpose of the congressional review, whether it's 30 days or 60 days, depending on if this deal is submitted by July 9th. But no one is going to take this at face value and just say, okay, or read the talking points. People want to get into the details. And I don't think we're going to like whatever kind of deal comes about based on the language that's been used, if there is a deal that actually goes into place. And it's not even clear now, after this whole discussion and process, if there will be a deal.
Yeah, the sentiment from Bob is exactly why we were so strongly in favor of some congressional review. Now, I think there's reason to not totally like all of the terms of the congressional review that are available here, but Bob's point is exactly true. From the very beginning of this negotiation, there has been reason to doubt that this administration had solely the interests of the United States at play here and that they were willing to walk away from a deal if the deal was not good. So congressional review of any deal was so critical here. And listen, the threshold's may not be where we like them, but the bottom line is this. If two-thirds of the United States House and the United States Senate takes a look at this deal, they say that it's bad for the United States, they can reject it. We are going to seize on that opportunity. If the deal is not good for the United States, we're going to say it plainly, and the United States House and Senate better take their obligation to reveal the deal seriously. They better take it seriously as well, Jordan.
Folks, we have a second half hour coming up at Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, if you don't get it on your local radio broadcast, you can go online to aclj.org and listen online there, aclj.org. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. If you're hanging on to talk to us, hang on throughout this break, and we'll get your phone call when we come back. We want to stand with Pastor Saeed and, again, call for his release. This is a critical time, folks, these next 24 to 48 hours. A lot of news will be coming out of Europe about this Iranian nuclear deal and potential deal that could be submitted to Congress. We need you to stand with us. Call now. Stand with Pastor Saeed and his family, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We need to stand with Pastor Saeed. Over a million people have signed the petition to see.
There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Critical deadlines approaching in the Iranian nuclear deal discussions. It's supposed to be a deadline of tomorrow. Now, there's some talk of that being extended another couple of days. That's key because if the deal is submitted to Congress after July 9th, then Congress has 60 days to review it. If it is submitted to Congress at or before July 9th, so in the next 3 days, then they have only 30 days to review it. So the administration has a reason to try to rush this process along. And listen, if you're Iran and you're trying to get some deal with the U.S. to get economic relief, you understand, too, why you would want the U.S. Congress to have less time to review this. I want to go right to our phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, let's go to them.
Yeah, first up is Glenn calling from Colorado on line 6. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jordan, you got such a strong point. Congress needs the 60 days, without doubt. My question is where is the compassion in this as far as our administration and within the Congress itself? If this was a family member of theirs that was incarcerated this long and under these conditions, would they feel the same way? I mean, Nakhmed has, you know, she's been standing behind this and trying to make that point the whole time that, you know, are we brain dead? Where is the love? I mean, just I can't even believe that we would negotiate any deal before the release of these prisoners.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that this should have been a precondition, Glenn, from even sitting down at the table. We shouldn't have even reopened this kind of dialogue with Iran, the first kind of dialogue like this since the revolution in Iran in 1979. But we did. And then we got to the first draft deal without getting the Americans home. Now we're talking about getting to potentially a final deal. I hope, Glenn, that I'm surprised and that, you know, if anything is submitted to Congress within that same 24 hours, these Americans are released. But I have no reason to believe that will be the case. And I don't think we have any reason to put our faith into that. We have to keep fighting as though this is still not getting enough attention, still not getting enough focus. Than, let's and Glenn, a great phone call. Than, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Linda calling on line 3 is next. She's calling from Missouri. Linda, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Hi. Jay, really, Iran, Russia, and China. I mean, Obama. You know, we know the man is absolutely corrupt. We know that everything that he stands for is corrupt. And I really believe with all my heart that what Obama's doing isn't to benefit anybody or anything. He's trying to utterly take America and crush America from the inside out, from what I'm seeing. And another thing,
well, you know, and if we believe that, you know, this is all hurting America, and I think that most of us would agree this kind of deal would, we have to understand as well, Linda, that we have a say in this process, the political process. We've got to wake up our own, you know, fellow citizens here and work with the members of Congress to make sure that they do provide the oversight that they're supposed to do. But listen, it's a very difficult time. I don't think we've understood the full ramifications of what a deal like this could mean and how dangerous this is. We've talked about in this broadcast. I certainly think you understand it, Linda, and a lot of our listeners do. But honestly, most Americans, I don't think, understand the seriousness of this. Dan, let's go back to the phones.
Stuart from Oregon is on line 4. Stuart, you're on the air. You got less than a minute.
Yes, thank you. Doesn't Iran already have the nuclear weapon through North Korea? And really, the issue is keeping them from building a stockpile.
You know, we've heard about this, Glenn, before. Stuart, we've heard about the idea that they may have some technology and research from North Korea. Of course, North Koreans' program has not been so successful when they've tried to test it. That doesn't mean you want, though, however, any kind of nuclear material in Iran's hand. They've got a nuclear program. Whether they have it weaponized is still a question. Will the world let them go there without making sure there's the right kind of oversight and the inspectors that are supposed to be allowed in? That's really the key point here. Glenn, listen, I would assume the worst right now, honestly, as we go into this deal and the way that Iran is acting. Take a stand. We need to get the Americans home. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
The clock is ticking. A deadline to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear capabilities is now just hours away. Secretary of State says, quote, hard choices still need to be made, and the negotiations, he says, can go either way. As representatives from the United States and Iran sit face to face at the bargaining table, it's critical that American pastor Saeed Abedini and three other Americans imprisoned in Iran are released. There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Folks, with tomorrow's deadline for a deal in the nuclear talks with Iran, we are again calling on Pastor Saeed's release. We are also calling on the United States Congress to reject any deal that occurs before the four Americans are home. That is our message to both the administration and the United States Congress. If you want to add your name to over a million people who have echoed that call, I want you to add your name to our petition. You can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at aclj.org. And folks, I want to take a listen in this segment of the broadcast to part of our new documentary called Let My People Go. It takes a look at persecution that's happening around the world. We're focusing in on Pastor Saeed's case as we obviously represent the Abedini family, but Christian persecution is on the rise worldwide. We at the ACLJ and our international affiliates have been front and center in that effort. We put together a documentary called Let My People Go to get you up to speed on just how widespread this is, just how big of a problem it is, and so that we can all get educated and really speak truth into that dark situation. I want to play just a few minutes from that documentary now. You can find the entire thing online at acljfilms.com, but here's just a few minutes from our documentary called Let My People Go.
The word jizya is different from the word dara'ib. Dara'ib means taxes. Jizya means punishment or penalty. And it is only applied to Jews and Christians, whom they call the people of the book.
Number one, you can pay a tax. But these people have no money, so they can't pay the tax. Number two, you can convert. You could leave your faith in Christianity or whatever the particular religion is, convert to Islam, and that will keep you alive. Or three, you'll be executed. That may be by hanging, by being shot, by being crucified, by being beheaded. They tend to go for beheadings because they use that as a recruiting tool. And there are not really many options here because these people don't have money to pay a tax and live in peace.
There was a certain amount of protection, even from Assad in Syria. There's been a certain amount of protection for minorities, even the Jewish community.
Right.
But now, with Saddam Hussein gone, with the war we see in Syria, there is no protection anymore.
These people you cannot deal with. They will not talk with you. There is nothing you can reasonably achieve. You can only survive, you can only function by the supernatural power of God.
You can give a person a chance to recant, and if they do, they could be forgiven. But if they refuse to recant, then they're to be executed. And we see this happen in the Middle East where people have come to faith in Christ, and it's the duty of the family to force them to recant. If they don't, then the family executes them. And we have seen a number of cases of that over the years.
In many Muslim countries today, where there are minorities, Christian, Jewish, minorities, even women who are not minorities, are treated like second-class citizens under Islamic law. Their testimony is worth less or weighted less than a Muslim man's in a court.
Muslims have a voice in a court proceeding that is elevated much higher than any other faith. In fact, many other faiths, including Christianity, it's hard to get them in trial. We have to take international efforts to get these cases in trial. And then you put on top of that, in Asiya Bibi's case, a female. Well, that's even a lower rung.
They do not have the same rights or guarantees of property. In Iran, the Baha'is and the Christians can be shut out of jobs. The Baha'is have no rights at all. In fact, if anyone takes their property or murders them, they're not even prosecuted.
If someone accuses you of saying something against the Prophet, which could be as benign in Western context as saying Jesus is the true Prophet, that's blasphemy. The penalty is death.
A Pakistani court is upholding the death sentence for Asiya Bibi, the Christian woman accused of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad.
Asiya Bibi, 45 years old and mother of five, is the first woman to be condemned to death under Pakistan's blasphemy laws. She insulted the Prophet Muhammad, her accusers say. That was enough for the local cleric to demand the police lock her up and put her on trial.
Grief and agony of two young girls who wait to see if the Pakistani government will execute their jailed mother. Whenever I see her picture, I cry, says 12-year-old Isham.
Her husband, Ashik, and their children are in hiding, sheltered by a small Christian colony away from their village.
Yesterday morning, as Naghma Abedini was boarding a flight to Washington, D.C., she received a call from the desk officer at Near Eastern Affairs. This is at the U.S. State Department. The desk officer that on the first day she called, within 24 hours of her husband being arrested by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, told her on the phone, there is nothing the United States government can do for you. When that desk officer made the comment, someone from the Department of International Religious Affairs, who works for Ambassador Susan Johnson Cook, tried to break in. This desk officer cut them off, said, I have authority, there's nothing we can do to help. You can keep us updated with the facts if you like. She received the same phone call from that desk officer moments before boarding a plane, after we have informed the U.S. State Department and this officer specifically to stop contacting the client we represent as her attorneys, as the family's attorneys, without us on the phone, did it moments before her flight and said, you've never asked us for help. You've never asked us for help. Your attorneys may have communicated. You may have been on those phone calls even, but you've never asked us for help. As you can see now, they knew this hearing was about to happen and are trying to cover their tracks.
And I think the State Department's refusal to appear before this committee today is extremely troubling and, frankly, offensive. It's offensive, and I look at it first from a legal standpoint. Sure, it's offensive from a legal standpoint. But it's offensive to Naghma Abedini, the wife of this pastor. And if his children were old enough to understand the scope of what was going on, it would be offensive to them as well. That their government, the State Department, snubbed this commission. And that cannot be seen as anything less than a wanton disregard to stand up and speak out for someone who cannot speak out for himself right now. And I also believe it reveals a stunning lack of concern for protecting human rights and religious freedom. The failure to appear today and to testify, frankly, is inexcusable.
On July 28th, he was taken off a bus by the Revolutionary Guard. He was put under house arrest for 2 months. I remember our kids would continually be able to hear his voice and see him on the computer on Skype. And the day he was taken, and we didn't know where he was for a week, they kept coming to the computer and saying, Mommy, can we see Daddy? Can we hear his voice? And I kept saying, no, we can't. You know, I couldn't explain to them why, that he was physically taken to prison. And finally, they kept saying, does Daddy not love us anymore? Does Daddy not want to hear our voice anymore? And I had to tell them that he was in prison because he loved Jesus and that he loved them very much. And he was looking for the day to come back and tuck him into bed. Our family nightmare began in September of 2012. And we've been fighting for his freedom since. As mentioned earlier, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil in itself is evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. I must say I'm disappointed with our government. I'm disappointed that our president and our State Department has not fully engaged in this case. Disappointed that this great country is not doing more to free my husband, a U.S. citizen. I expect more from our government. But I'm hoping and I'm asking for help. It was told that I have not asked directly for help, but I've pleaded many times. Many times I've asked the U.S. government to do whatever it can to free my husband from that prison simply because he converted from Islam to Christianity and he's a Christian. And his human right is being broken and is being violated. And we, our family needs your help. Our family needs your support.
But I just want to thank all of the five witnesses, you know, particularly I appreciate, But the commission will stay with this thing until the release takes place.
Again, folks, that was a few minutes from our documentary called Let My People Go. I encourage you to watch the entire thing online. It's up at acljfilms.com. But as we go to a break, I want you to stand up for Pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran on account of his faith. There are also three other Americans imprisoned in Iran wrongfully. We are telling the administration and the United States Congress, no deal with Iran unless the four Americans are home, and then we can talk about the parameters of a deal. But the four Americans must be home before any deal is considered. Whether you support a deal or oppose a deal, require that the four Americans are home before you even look at a deal. Call and add your name to this petition. 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The clock is ticking. A deadline to reach an agreement over Iran's nuclear capabilities is now just hours away. Secretary of State says, quote, hard choices still need to be made, and the negotiations, he says, can go either way. As representatives from the United States and Iran sit face to face at the bargaining table, it's critical that American pastor Saeed Abedini and three other Americans imprisoned in Iran are released. There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed Abedini's release, I want you to join over a million people who have stood up and taken a stand for Pastor Saeed, called for his release, called for his return to his wife and children in Idaho. You can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at ACLJ.org. I want to take a few minutes here and play a segment of our documentary that's called Let My People Go. It takes a look at religious persecution and specifically Christian persecution that is on the rise around the world, whether it's ISIS or Boko Haram or the other radical Islamic terrorists that are targeting Christians around the world, targeting their extermination from the very places where the origins of Christianity begin. We took a look at this in Let My People Go, took a look at not only the ACLJ and the ECLJ's involvement, but also tried to really broaden out and look at the work that others have done in these regions. Again, it's called Let My People Go. You can find the entire thing online to view at letmypeoplegomovie.com. But I want to play just a few minutes for you now. Let's go ahead and roll it.
What I went in there to do was tell the State Department, we're playing for keeps here. Now, when they ask a family member of Saeed Abedini to do something, fill out a form, then when he goes to fill out that form in Iran, his penalty is not $50 if you don't fill out the form correctly under penalty of perjury. It could be the death penalty himself. So they were asking ridiculous and unnecessary activities from family members. And that's what I had to stop. I had to get a focus in that meeting as to what the government should be concentrating on. And that was asking for his release.
But it was a good meeting. Ambassador Cook is going to be personally involved from here on. And the Bureau of DLR has assured us that they're going to be working on the case, which has not been the case in the past. So that's a big victory, and we're going to hold them to it.
Ultimately, that led to bigger things. That led to eventually, they may not show up at a congressional hearing, but ultimately, President Obama was making remarks about it. Secretary of State John Kerry was making remarks about it. So ultimately, they did start speaking out.
You had the President of the United States and the first phone call with a senior representative of Iran, in that particular case, a direct call with the President of Iran, and President Obama asked for the release of Saeed Abedini. John Kerry called for the release of Saeed Abedini by name. So at that point, I think it's fair to say that our meeting with the State Department gave direct results. Now, it has not been the end result, which is getting him free, but it did bring about a change of position and a public advocacy now, not just by us, but by the United States government.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's been held in Iran for more than 18 months. Sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges relating to his Christian beliefs. And as we continue to work for his freedom today, again, we call on the Iranian government to release Pastor Abedini so he can return to the loving arms of his wife and children in Idaho.
As a pastor, I am very concerned for Saeed Abedini because they have beaten him and tortured him to try to get him to recant his faith in Jesus Christ, because he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Christ died for our sins on the cross, that he shed his blood, that he was raised from the dead. He believes this. And they have beaten him and tortured him to try to force him to turn his back on his Savior, and he won't do it. And the president and this administration have not done what they should be doing to get him out.
The subcommittees will come to order, and this is an important meeting of two subcommittees, the Subcommittee on Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights, and International Organizations, and Subcommittee on Middle East and North Africa.
And we started back in March at the Lantos Commission, and now here we are months later, the United States, in an unprecedented move that we did not predict or could not predict then, is now sitting with Iran. At such a critical juncture, with the U.S. government literally sitting across the table from Iran, we could never have imagined that that would occur when we first testified before the Lantos Commission in March. At the table, for the first time in 34 years, we need to ensure that Pastor Saeed and the other Americans mentioned here today, wrongfully detained, are seen as not a marginal issue, but an essential of those ongoing diplomatic talks. Pastor Saeed has exhausted all legal remedies in Iran to appeal this arbitrary conviction and his detention. His freedom now rests solely on the success of diplomatic efforts by the United States government and world leaders dedicated to human rights. And just to highlight again that while our government sat across the table from the Iranian delegation, Saeed was transferred to a worse prison.
When I spoke in front of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in March of this year, I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government, and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. His parents, when they visit him in prison, they say that when they hold the pictures of the kids in front of him, he just cries. And he wrote in a letter, he said, "It is so hard and so heartbreaking for me to see these pictures and to know that I'm not there beside you as you grow. I came here to help the kids that did not have mommies and daddies, but my own kids lost their daddy. This breaks my heart so much. I want you to know that I did not want to put so much pressure on your little shoulders, my precious children."
Zabedini, thank you so very much for those powerful words. And that testimony is just, I think it causes every one of us to redouble our efforts and do everything possible to ensure that your husband is released immediately. Thank you so very much.
Today marks a day of both sorrow and hope. Sorrow for the 2 years that Pastor Saeed Abedini has languished in an Iranian prison, and hope for his release.
2 years, that's how long U.S. citizen Saeed Abedini has been imprisoned in Iran.
Saeed's only crime, his Christian faith.
For 2 years, Saeed has been held captive in a foreign land.
For 2 years, his wife has been without a husband.
And for 2 years, Saeed's two young children have been without a father.
2 years of missed birthdays, anniversaries, and other events.
I ask all of you to join me today in calling again for Saeed's release and safe return home.
There's absolutely nothing that's going to bring those 2 years back to Saeed's family.
There is nothing that will bring those 2 years back, but enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
It's time to bring Saeed Abedini home.
This injustice has continued for far too long.
It's time.
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 Again, folks, that's from our documentary called Let My People Go. You can find it online. You can view it in its entirety at letmypeoplegomovie.com. That's letmypeoplegomovie.com. And as we close the broadcast today, I want you to add your name to more than a million who have taken a stand for Pastor Saeed, have taken a stand for the four Americans who are imprisoned in Iran. Tell the administration, do not strike a deal with Iran unless and until these four Americans are home. Now, the parameters of the deal beyond that, of course, have to be then considered on their own merits. But we should not even be considering putting pen to paper with the Iranian regime unless these four Americans who are wrongfully detained are home. I want you to add your name to that petition by calling 877-989-2255 or sign it online at aclj.org.
There should be no deal until Pastor Saeed and the others are freed and returned to their families. More than 1 million people have already signed on to our petition demanding Pastor Saeed's release. Please take a moment and add your name right now. Time is of the essence. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.